We're recording once again. It is 12:21 on Tuesday, January 24th. We will do a quick roll call just to verify everybody is back from the break. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
And I believe Mr. Harris is back on the call. Mr. Harris, you're muted.
Present.
Thank you. And Dr. King, the meeting's yours.
All right. So members of the board, we are at agenda item 9H, Sarah Davis, PTA, complaint 2256. Is Ms. Davis on the call?
I am.
Hi, thanks for being here. Mindy, do you want to give us a update?
Yeah, we have one day working on an expired certificate, but she stated in her written response that she did not see any patients on that day.
Okay. Good. No. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And so if that is the case, then, and there was no practice.
Ms. Davis, what did you do before your supervisor sent you home?
So I was notified that morning that my license had lapsed. And so I actually came into work to verify with my supervisor and with HR to make sure that that was the case. So that's why I was in at work that day, but I did not actually practice anything. So then I did go home as soon as they verified that, and I stayed home until it was reinstated.
With that, I would move that we issue an advisory letter that Ms. Davis should be aware of the renewal requirements and promptly renew her license.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Judy, do you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter that includes an advisory to pay attention to renewal dates and to renew on time. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Davis.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Agenda item 9I, case 2057, David Curtis, PT. Is Mr. Curtis on the call?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Mr. Curtis. Mindy, will you please update us?
Yeah, Mr. Curtis practiced as a physical therapist on an administrative suspended license until his reinstatement on 10-6 of 2022, but it's not clear to me how many days of that was in actual practice. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Curtis, tell us a little bit about your renewal experience and what you were doing from 9-1 to 10-6 with patient care as a physical therapist.
Well, I had my worst problems of trying to renew. I tried to renew my license on August the 31st. When I tried to renew, I had to have a password to renew, and it wouldn't let me go any further. And I did not know where my password was. And next day, I left messages and messages every day, 3 or 4 times a day, and I got no response from the state board that's supposed to be there to help me, not to hinder me in my license renewal. So during that time, I did practice without a license, and I feel that I'm out in a rural, very rural area, and that doesn't matter, but I still feel that I had a concern and was, you know, trying to get my license renewal. And I used every day. I called many times. I never did get a response for my calls and that. I understand that the person that I was calling was getting $45,000 a year for care and helping people in my situation. But I never got any care. I never got any, you know, time of help during this time. I ended up getting, my wife was helping me. We even got Monica Crowley to help and trying to get through here so we get some things done. And, so I'm getting somebody that knows the computer. My big thing is I don't know the computer. And so I have, fell there and hoped that I could, get some help and being able to have us treat the patients in a way that I had a license.
Mr. Curtis, was this your first year to renew your license?
What's that?
Is this the first time you've ever renewed your license?
It almost seems like it, but no, I am 69 years old, and I've been practicing physical therapy for 40 years. And I had some people to help renew it before. They had been there to help. Even this year, I've had probably 5 or 6 different people working for me because of COVID or whatever, and I'm not being able to use the computer and that. And so there was somebody to try to help me and being able to renew, as I'm not the youngest person, and I don't claim to know a lot about computers. And my wife has helped working lots of hours trying to get through here to get this taken care of. And I feel that the State Board Association, I was let down in something that was very important in trying to get my license renewed, and all I wanted is to renew my license. I finally found the password that was stuck on a folder that was taped there, and I did not see it before when I was looking for things of you know, I needed to get through this, and so I just had no help in that, and that's my story, and I feel that I've worked for, you know, a long time, 40 years plus. I worked in hospitals. I worked all these different places and that. I never had a person, you know, have things saying bad against my licensure. And I know it's important, but I know that equally important is to be able to treat patients in a great, you know, good mood and treat everybody equal and trying to get, you know, them better. And I just was very frustrated in not getting a return call for, you know, a long time. Nobody called. Nobody returned the call. I couldn't find out that somebody, that this person had died or so. And I don't know. That's all I have to say. But I was very upset. And I know that I was trying my hardest. And I was losing more hair, losing more sleep, and became a diabetic. And that's the only thing that I feel that I still feel I'm able to practice properly with the license and that.
Thank you.
So there is a note in his file that his call was returned, that I spoke with his wife and personally helped her guide her into his account on November the 22nd.
November 22nd?
Correct. I'm sorry. September 22nd. September 22nd of 2022.
Okay.
I was on the phone with both of them, actually. They were both on the phone while I was guiding them into his account, and he was into his account. So that was where we left it at on 9/22.
Veronica, was there any record of a call prior to the renewal deadline?
No, other than that, Josh, no. I just have it that I spoke with him and his wife, and that I walked him into getting into his account.
Veronica, it sounds like he was trying to get in contact with Karen. I guess my question would be, I mean, Karen had passed away a while prior to that. Where would he have gotten that number from? I don't know, Mr. Curtis, if you can explain that. Where were you getting that number from, as opposed to a number to one of our board members on the website?
Just a second.
Giovanni, even if he would have called that number, he still would have received, I think that would have, that number now is Judy's, if I'm not mistaken, or it's Mindy's?
No, it's Mindy's. Okay. It's Mindy's. That number has been transferred to Mindy, and that happened immediately. From what I recall of the information that we've received, Mr. Curtis was trying to email. Right after Karen passed, we adjusted her email to be an out-of-office notification, and then it was archived, at which point it was no longer accepting emails, incoming emails, and that happened months before the renewal system started. There's also documentation.
Why was I still getting through to her when I called and trying to get somebody to answer my questions that I had that I have not been able to get through? I did not send emails. I am not very good at computers, but I can talk on the phone. And that's where I went, left messages. And that's where I got very frustrated and felt that I was really not properly treated in my renewal process. I'm sorry about that.
Mr. Curtis, you had said that your wife is kind of computer savvy. Did you guys go to the board website to look at the, like, what the contact numbers are for the board on the website?
Yeah, just a second. I'll let her. She's not very... my wife is 80 years old. She's not very savvy on computers, but, you know, luckily more than me, but not very much. This is my wife, Sydney Curtis. Sydney Richardson Curtis.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, the problem was that I, for some reason, couldn't get anything to work. And I know that, what was your name? Monica? Who was talking to me on the phone?
My husband. Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Veronica. Okay. So I don't know if Veronica remembers that I couldn't get anything to work. I just couldn't get it to work. And I've had, you know, I've had problems like that with other things too, because I'm not really savvy with that. And I just want you to know that we had such a turnover that we didn't have a girl in here trying very hard to hire someone. The last girl left. Kind of quickly, because she had some major issues that she had to take care of, and she was moving away, actually, is what the big problem was. But she was the one that had been taking care of these things. So now we had no one to take care of these things. And I was, before I talked to Veronica, I was trying to get through to gal Karen, because that was the only name we had on the file to call. I came to find out just not too long ago that Karen sadly had passed away. So I asked, well, where have all my emails and my phone calls and all of these things been going? Evidently, file 13, I don't know, but evidently they were going nowhere. So we just didn't have anybody to help us. And I had a person come down here just even trying to get a continuing education certificate in, and he couldn't even get it to copy and paste so we could get it on an email. And we're just having a lot of trouble. And right now I can't remember exactly how we got through, but all of a sudden out of the blue, we got our wallet license and got the continuing education through. We don't know if it was a power from upstairs, but it got through. And so that's kind of our story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for my continuing education to come through, because I got penalized before when I said I got it and I didn't have it. It didn't come through on time. So this time I was waiting for it. It came through finally, and we, like she said, we had computer problems and that. And it finally came through, and the lovely date of August 31st, 2022. And so that I did have my continuing education, you know, prior to that expiration date of 8/31/22.
So Mr. Curtis, it's Kelly King. So just to clarify though, that while you were going through these things and trying to reach someone, you continued your practice with your
life
fired.
Yep, I felt that if I wasn't getting any help, at least I could help somebody besides myself on that. But I did practice without a license, and I think more just as important as the license is to be able to provide proper care for the patients that come to me to have care. So.
And while I was on the phone with him, I did let her know that he should not be practicing while his license was expired. I did let her know that because I heard him speaking with the patient while we were on the phone.
And that was September 22nd?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Curtis, did you continue to practice even from September 22nd through October 6th?
I received my wallet size thing on the September 22nd. My license that says that it's good until 2024.
Okay. Thank you. Mindy, my notes say practice through October 6th. Is there, what am I missing?
I'll have to defer to Monica. She verified what was occurring with the reinstatements.
Okay, thanks.
Let me pull him up really quick. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
I mean, on the matrix, it doesn't necessarily make a significant difference, but I do think it's important to capture the correct time.
Okay, so on 9/22, he did submit his application, but it did not get completed until 10/6. And there was communication back and forth that I believe I had forwarded over to Mindy, where there was communication where maybe he didn't upload the certificates of completion, so they needed to be emailed. So he did submit his reinstatement application on 9/22. But it did not get completed until 10/6. So.
Well, they did take my money for $200-something on that date on September 22nd.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Because if I'm looking at his submission information, meaning that I uploaded on 10/6 at 12:21 p.m., his documentation for his continuing education and his reinstatement documentation. So he did at that time submit it, but if you don't have everything, then it doesn't automatically get approved until we get that.
When a license is reinstated, part of the process is that individual reinstating automatically has to submit their continuing education documentation to verify that they have done it. So in essence, it performs an audit automatically. That comes also the documentation where the licensee is indicating whether they have or have not worked in that time frame, as well as the time frame in which they had worked or had, you know, if they say that they had worked. So there's documentation that goes along with a reinstatement application. If it's not submitted when the application is submitted, the payment is made at the time of the submission. But if the reinstatement application is deficient in the supporting documentation, that's back and forth with staff at that point. And so that's where the time frame goes from when it was submitted to when it was actually reinstated on the 6th. And according to Mr. Curtis's sign on his documentation, it says that he worked through the present and it was dated 10/6.
And I have what Monica was referring to, an email thread she forwarded to me. It's from Monica to Desert Rehab Physical Therapy on October 4th at 11 o'clock. Ms. Crowley states, I'm unable to process your reinstatement application because you are missing 20 hours of CEU. Your reinstatement form, I only need one form, I have practiced or I have not practiced, and the audit form. He's on 11/6 at 10:56, again from Monica to Desert Rehab. She indicates she has received the new certificate of completion for the 20 hours, but they still needed the reinstatement form and the audit form.
And that was 10-6, right? You had said 11-6, 10-6, okay.
10-6, sorry.
On September 13th, I have a thing there my wife tried to do to Monica Crowley. It says, address not found. Your message wasn't delivered to Monica Crowley because the address could not be found or was unable to receive mail. And that, I don't know why that would show up, but, like I said, we were trying desperately.
Mark Anthony, the Beaver over at the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission, as returning your call. I'm in the office.
Mr. Harrison,
I've been in and out of the office all week for
me. Someone's not muted anyway. Thank you.
I muted him.
Thank you. What part of the state do you live in, Mr. Curtis?
My office is located in Chino Valley, Arizona. I've been in Arizona all my life. I was born here. My grandpa was born here. My dad was born here. And this is a little town I didn't even know existed until I came up here for a job, possibly purchase this thing. I am a sole proprietor. I do not have anybody else working for me. And so I am not able to delegate any patients to anyone except for myself, and all bad stuff comes back to me if there's a problem.
I have one more question to ask you. Just bear with me. The renewal for our licenses opened up, I want to say, in July. Can you help me understand why you waited? If you're not computer savvy, why you submitted your first renewal on the very last day of that time frame?
Because I completed my certificate of completion that shows here completion date of 8/31/22 for my hours of continuing education. So
you did your continuing education on 8/31 also?
That's what I got my completion date. It was, and I worked on it all this time, but that's when I got the computer, thing that I could, certificate that I could print up, and I have it here in front of me, and that was dated completion date 8/31/22, even though I did do it a little sooner, but we were having problems with the computer, like I said, and that's when I got the completed date of continuing education of all the hours I needed. And then we were trying to get them through, and like I said, it was a nightmare.
Thanks, Mr. Curtis. Are there any other questions for Mr. Curtis? Well, I can understand some of the challenges that he's had. I don't think we have any choice, but we need to follow the matrix to be consistent, which determining the amount of time that he practiced before his license was renewed, it looks like it's a smidge over 30 days. So I'm going to make a motion.
Even though I got my license renewed on September the 22nd, huh?
What I'm hearing is that your license...
I paid my money on September 22nd.
Right. Yeah, we all have to... Yes, we all have to pay when we renew, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the renewal date. It's when they get all your paperwork. And what I'm hearing from board staff is that was October 6th. You were still working back and forth with Monica to submit your CEU certificates and your... audit forms.
And so, why would it say that my good license is good until, 2024?
That's our renewal cycle. So all of us in the state have that same expiration date.
I think he's getting confused because in 2020, I don't know if somebody else renewed for him, and it was submitted on 8/31, and he did receive his wallet license right away at that time, but that's because it was a complete application and there was nothing, it was done on time and nothing needs to be manually reviewed because he answered all of the questions that did not need to be reviewed. Therefore, I think maybe in his mind he's thinking that he submitted it was done.
Mm-hmm. And you're correct, Monica, because they explained to me in the conversation that Sydney was the one that was completing the renewals. The wife.
Okay.
Yeah. And prior to that was somebody else that we had that knew computers quite a bit. And when she did complete it and everything else, and you see that I was at the last minute thing here too. But I, the they put that thing in there in the file folder, taped it on the side, and I did not see that. And all I needed was that number, which I found, and I do have that number, but didn't do me one bit of good for the password.
So that we can come to a conclusion and maybe discussion and make a determination, I'm going to follow the matrix for to offer consent agreement for 90 days of probation, 3 hours of continuing education for ethics, which can be done online, a civil penalty of $460, and notification of employers, patients, third-party payers that he was practicing from September 1st to October 6th, and can petition for early termination if all the terms are met.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to offer a consent agreement in accordance with the matrix that includes probation of 90 days with early termination possible, a civil penalty of $460, successful completion of the jurisprudence exam, notification of employers, payers, and patients, and providing documentation to the board when that's complete, and continuing education in the hour of, in the area of ethics for 3 hours. Continuing education may be taken online, must be pre-approved, and can be completed online and does not count towards renewal requirements.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hajek?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
You're on mute.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Curtis. The board staff will be in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I think they need to get people off there if they're not going to be able to talk to you. And we can't even talk to anybody. I mean, that should have been taken care of a lot longer before that, and should be him, her having access, or we have access to her number still, and not getting anything done.
All right. We appreciate you.
I don't know
you.
Why it happened after that, September the 1st.
All right. We wish you all the best, Mr. Curtis.
Thank you.
All right, board members, we are at agenda item 9J, review consideration of possible action for SG.
Dr. King, I have another appointment in 10 minutes. I'm going to drop off, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye,
thanks, Josh. All right, Mindy, you want to give us an update on 9G, 9J SG, please?
These will all be under Judy.
Oh, Judy, do you want to do them all at once and then, similar to what we did before, talk about the specifics?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
I, too, have a meeting conflict, so I'm going to sign off.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just making a note in the record that both Mr. Greer and Ms. Richardson left the meeting at 12:50. Okay, so the next three cases before you are specific to continuing education. The individuals were randomly selected for continuing competence audit following the 2022 renewal cycle. Notice of audit were mailed via certified mail on 10/24 of 2022, and courtesy follow-up notices were mailed via regular mail on 10/26, 2022. Each individual was required to, I believe all three of these are PTs, so they were all required to earn 20 hours of continuing education. The specifics vary slightly in terms of their compliance with those requirements. So we can take those one at a time. So SG, the first on your list, was deficient. After all continuing education was submitted, he was found to be deficient 1.25 contact hours of the required 24 hours, or excuse me, required 20 hours. Your packet does include the deficiency letter as well as the continuing education completion certificates that were done in accordance with the deficiency to make up for that deficiency. So in this case, SG completed an additional 5 hours to come into compliance. So as outlined in the policy for continuing education audit, these cases, when they are found to be deficient, are brought to the board to determine whether or not the board wants to open a complaint. If the board chooses to open a complaint, a sample consent agreement has been included as well in compliance with the matrix that's been presented. In this case for SG, he was deficient the 1.25 hours. He took an additional 5 hours, submitted that documentation. You have that in front of you. So in accordance with the matrix, if the board chooses to open a complaint, it would be a probation for a board approved time period to include a civil penalty payment of $100 and the jurisprudence exam at the level of 1.25 hours deficiency. That, of course, is up to the board to determine whether A, a complaint should be opened, and B, if those if that's the way the board would like to proceed.
Thank you. Is SG on the call?
I am.
Okay, thank you. So tell us just a little bit about how your CEUs went and being found deficient.
So I was under the impression that I had completed 72 continuing education requirements, but once I was audited, when I went back to fill out the paperwork, realized that I had completed 72 hours, but it was just before the compliance period started. And then that following year. So basically I was under the impression that I'd completed 72 hours of category B in addition to the other stuff that I had completed. And so I just was wrong. I was mistaken with the dates, out of question. I'd completed literally a ton of hours, but they were prior to the compliance period, just prior to.
Thank you.
And I provided a letter to Judy that documented all of those hours that I'd completed and what the coursework was. But again, it was outside of the compliance period. And for whatever it's worth, it's probably not that important. But that following year, I was very sick with ulcerative colitis. So I just, I just kind of lost track of the dates.
So board members, there is a draft consent agreement in our files. It sounds like though our options are, let me pull up that matrix. Does anyone have the matrix pulled up? If not, I can pull it up.
Pulled up.
So 1.25 hours, where does that fall in the matrix?
So it falls in the 1 to 3 contact hour category, which is a $100 civil penalty and Arizona law exam.
Oh, okay. Is there are there CEUs as well?
No, not for that, that amount of hours.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I think we need to be consistent with the matrix. So I'm going to make a motion that we approve that we offer a consent agreement that includes $100 civil penalty and successful passing of the Arizona law exam.
Second.
Time frame, 6 months? 90 days. It doesn't say, so I'm just going to.
Yeah, it doesn't specify.
Well, that's for PTA. Hang on. I only pulled up the PTA one.
There's two files in there. One's a PT, one's a PTA.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I pulled up the PTA one. Is the PT different? I see. Never mind. Let me pull it up. No, it's the same.
The difference is the civil penalty for not responding.
Yep. So $100 civil penalty and successfully passing that Arizona law exam. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I second it.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
I do feel like we need to be consistent with these. I feel like that's very important moving forward.
Yeah.
Agree. So I mentioned 6 months. Are we more comfortable with 90 day? The jurisprudence is a little bit bigger than a CEU, so I don't want to add undue stress to try and take past that in 90 days. So I'm comfortable with six months. What are your thoughts?
I'd be comfortable with 6 months as long as we're consistent with it across the board.
Yeah, and it doesn't really stipulate. So I'm gonna ask for 6 months. And are you guys okay? Okay. So for 6 months to pay the penalty and take and pass the jurisprudence exam.
And is that with that's with early termination possible?
Well, he's not on probation. Well, it doesn't say probation on the matrix.
No, it doesn't. Mr. Harris, we had discussed this previously. Mr. Harris, is this inherent with probation to complete this information?
Well, the word semantics is really kind of, it's just not substantive because whether you call it probation or not, it's probation. You're putting his license on probation subject to certain conditions. So, I don't want to dismiss it as semantics, but it really doesn't change it one way or another.
Okay. For him, I wanted to be clear. So let's offer a consent agreement for 6 months probation to $100 civil penalty to take it past the jurisprudence exam and petition for early termination if all the terms are met before that. So, Giovanni, are you okay with that change to the motion?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And just to clarify, at this point, there has been no complaint opened to offer this consent agreement. So the motion includes opening a complaint to be satisfied then with this consent agreement.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Do you want to call the vote, Judy?
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint and offer a consent agreement that includes a probationary period of 6 months within which time a civil penalty of $100 and a successful passage of the AZ jurisprudence exam can be completed. The probation may be terminated early if all terms are met. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leon?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer is now absent. Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton, you're muted. Thank you.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, I have to go see patients now. Also, just let me know what you sign me up for.
How about a question? Is it okay?
Elections. Yes.
Okay, so what does that mean for me functionally? I don't really understand what just happened.
Yeah, you know what? The board staff will be in touch with you, Mr. Goldstein, and they'll answer all of your questions and give you all the details for that.
Okay, but has my license been taken away? Am I allowed to practice physical therapy?
Yes, you are allowed to practice. Your license has not been taken away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Do we still have a quorum if with Karen gone?
Yes, we still have four members.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I know it's 1 o'clock. I'm trying to get through
them. We're getting thin though.
But I think it's so important for them to be able to speak to us. And so I want to make sure that our licensees have the opportunity to share their voice. I just think that's so important.
No, I agree. I think
thank
it's
you. Good. Okay. Right. Thanks for bearing with me. So we're at PR. Same. So Judy, is PR on the call with us?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for being on the call. Judy, you want to update us on the CEU deficiencies for PR?
Yes. My apologies. I closed the file. Bear with me 1 second. Mistaken the closed file. Here we go. Okay. So PR is in the same situation in which he was deficient. He was deficient a total of 10 hours, and he has since submitted verification of completing hours that bring him back into compliance with those deficiencies. So the matter is brought to you, the board, for further review.
Okay. Mr. PR, you want to just share with us a little bit about your CEU experience for this renewal period?
Thank you very much. Absolutely. First of all, it's been an enlightening day listening in, and I really appreciate what the board does as far as their time, their effort, and their dedication.
Thank you.
That's first and foremost. You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. I also want to thank Judy. Judy has been a tremendous help to just guide me through the process prior to our conversation this afternoon. So I want to personally thank Judy. The question that I had back when we first got started in the process of the audit was Category A. I was definitively fulfilled in full. However, the particular individual for Phoenix Manual Therapy courses, the individual who was the administrator for the particular courses that were taken and that I was participating in as a student and as a participant, he failed to complete the requirement needed by the Arizona board and for approval. And the only way I was aware of this was through the audit process. Everything was in compliance up until the time Judy and I combed through, and Judy was great in enlightening me and sharing with me that I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is not in compliance. And my understanding all along was that the administrator, a physical therapist by the name of Ryan Hammack, had taken care of all these details. It was not up until the day of having a conversation with Judy and corresponding back and forth with her through email that it came to that conclusion. Hence, I went ahead and took care of my obligation, took the courses online required, and brought myself back into accordance. And that's where all the other categories, Judy and I combed through them and were satisfactory, except for the 10 hours of the Category A, which I shared with you what the circumstance was with the particular course that would have met approval and satisfaction, if not for the lack of approval that Mr. Hammack did not obtain, putting me in this position.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a paperwork thing that courses have to submit for approval?
The certificates. The certificates were handed out and everything, and I shared it with Judy, and then Judy was the one that did her homework, her due diligence, and realized that no, it did not receive the proper stamp of approval. But that was unbeknownst to me. I was completely out of the dark. That was someone else's responsibility to take care of these for the courses. And so I then ended up obviously saying, okay, well, Judy, what do I need to do? What does PR need to do to get this right with the board? And one of the things I mentioned to Judy is in the 40 plus years I've been an Arizona physical therapist, I take such pride in my licensure in this state. And I would never let anything get in the way of jeopardizing that. And so when this came about, it really took me completely off guard and kind of a backhand, if you will. So that's what I've got to share with you today.
Yeah, that is so unfortunate that that you had signed up for a course that didn't meet that meet the criteria. And especially lately with all of the courses that are available to us online, we have to do our super due diligence to make sure it does say, on our continuing competence audit form, the Category 8 gives all the requirements of what goes right into qualifying to be approved. And any CEUs I take, if it's not on there, I don't take it. I don't take anyone's word for it. It's got to be written. Mm-hmm. I have to know. And unfortunately, you're not alone in this. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
And
I think the frustrating part too was that even in years past.
Yeah.
Prior to this particular 2 years of 2022, even in years past when the courses were taken, mm-hmm. and myself as a participant, those courses all had the stamp of approval. And it's interesting enough that after 2022, and I'm talking about this past summer, another course that I took was approved, but it was after the date. But so there was a black hole there that I unfortunately fell into.
Yeah. Oh. Well, thank you for sharing your experience. It sounds very frustrating.
Right. Right. And, and like I shared with you, 40 years and never in those 40 years ever have to present before the board for any kind of kind of wrongdoing or any kind of shortcoming mm-hmm. in reference to licensure.
Yep.
So it's a frustrating day for me. But yet I've been with you since 8:30 this morning, and I have got to hand it to all of you that it really is an enlightening experience. I did not realize the intensity of these conversations that you have to have with folks, and it's been very eye-opening for me.
Thank you. Board members, it is on us to follow our consistent process in these matters, and so with PR's deficiency of 10 CEUs in Category A, that does take us to the draft consent agreement. So I would make a motion that we offer a consent agreement to PR for probation for 6 months, the jurisprudence exam, taking and passing that, 150 civil penalty. And on the draft, it talks about ethics. I don't see it on the matrix, so I'm not sure. Oh, yes, I do. Never mind. 6 hours of ethics. Yep. And 6 hours of CEUs for ethics that can be taken online. all of which can, if it can be done in 6 months, and submit for a termination if it's all completed before that.
Oh, second.
Are you ready for the question?
Well, first I need to make a motion to open a complaint and then offer consent agreement and then the rest of it.
Well, it's I'll wait my turn.
Thank you. Judy, do you want to, do you mind restating the motion?
Yes, it's been moved and seconded to open a complaint and offer a consent agreement to include 6 months of probation with early termination possible. During that period of, during that 6 month time frame, a civil penalty of $150 should be paid. The jurisprudence exam completed successfully and continuing education in the area of ethics for 6 hours should be completed. The continuing education should be pre-approved and it must be completed or may be completed online and it does not count towards renewal requirements. Dr. King.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
The motion passes.
The board staff will be in touch with you to just talk through the details and make sure that they answer all of your questions for you. So great. watch for some communication from the board.
Sounds great.
From the board staff. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you all. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last item on this agenda, item number 9, is L. KC.
Is Casey, and go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is Casey on the call?
Yeah, I am, guys.
Hi, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This circumstance is a little bit different. He still had the same requirement for 20 hours, received all of the same notices of audit. in certain circumstances, some of the auditees did not respond to those notices of audit. KC was one of them, at which point they may submit their documentation. And in his case, he did submit documentation that said he completed the full 20 required hours within the time frame, within the appropriate time frame of September 1st, 2020 through August 31st of 2022. So the issue in this case is non-response to the audit during the audit time frame and before the audit deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So included in your packet is the policy that indicates that auditees who submit materials after the 30-day deadline, even if found to have successfully satisfied the continuing competence requirements, may be issued an advisory letter for failure to comply with the deadline. So this case, should the board see fit to manage it in that manner, might open a complaint in this and then satisfy it with an advisory letter.
I'm looking at the draft advisory letter, Judy, and it doesn't say anything about the penalty, the financial penalty, so we can talk about that.
That's if they're non-compliant and non-responsive.
So okay. He completed all of his hours, but just was non-responsive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. We might have to reword that on the matrix because it says responds to audit deadline, but does not meet, and the bottom says does not respond by audit deadline. And there's a different amount, so.
In the matrix, it does not respond to the audit by the deadline. Add 200 civil penalty to the above matrix.
Okay.
So it implies that they were deficient in hours at some point. Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
In this case, he was not deficient in hours.
Okay. KC, do you want to let us know? Can you just let us know about why it was difficult for the board to reach you about the audit.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. Well, I think I've cleaned it up with Judy. Thank you, Judy. We had I input. This is 100% my fault. I had a few addresses on file, and I was missing the suite number to my office that you guys mailed me the original letters to. And then I missed the email. It was buried in my updates folder. I saw it on December 30th, I think, and quickly sent Judy some stuff over and tried to figure it out, but I was a month late. So I take complete responsibility for missing those, for missing the email and, for not inputting the appropriate suite number. It was completely my fault.
And great news that you had all your CEUs though.
Oh yeah, I always do. I love learning.
Yeah. I bet you're sweating it. I get it. All right. And board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Casey?
No.
Then I'm going to make a motion that we open a complaint and send an advisory letter to him as outlined in the draft advisory letter we have in our file. I have to open a complaint to send an advisory letter? Okay, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Harris. Okay. Just notifying him of the findings of the board.
Second.
Any other discussion? Okay, let's call a vote.
Right here.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint and to send an advisory letter outlining the requirements for the continuing education audit. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Casey. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Okay. I think we're at board business again.
We're back to board business.
Yeah. We haven't had one like this in a long time. Okay. I'm ready. Board business agenda item. We haven't done A, so should we do board elections before we lose anybody else?
Yep.
Can we do board elections with only four?
Yes.
I don't know, can we?
Yes, you have quorum. I'll defer to the board, though, if they want to continue this until next month.
I would vote that we continue this until next month, because otherwise there is a chance I will wind up having to do this. there are some people that I want to nominate who are not here. So I think it would be positive for us to defer to our next meeting.
I'll second.
Is that okay, Judy?
Yeah, Mr. Harris, does that need to be a motion to table this?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and we can do it with just one motion, right? We don't have to do it for each position.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Would we be doing this for A and B, since they're both elections?
We could, but can we take them one at a time, though, please?
Yeah.
And I apologize, Mr. Barton, you made that motion. Who seconded it?
I did. Giovanni.
Okay.
So, and my official motion was for, board elections.
Correct.
So, I guess we'll vote on that and then I'll make a second motion. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to table, agenda item 10A, board elections.
It's been moved and seconded to table the board elections until the board's next meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Agenda,
Item
and for our record, I'm happy to participate. I'm just not quite comfortable taking a leadership role with my physical therapy knowledge being what is. So.
Understood. FSBPT delegate election. I'm going to make a motion that we table this into the next month as well. Because it's not a small commitment, so I want to make sure whoever's going to do it or wants to do it or is elected to do it fully understands the commitment.
Second.
Okay. So a motion and a second to table agenda 10B FSBT delegate election to next month if it fits on that agenda. So you want to call the vote, Judy?
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's been moved and seconded to table the FSBPT delegate elections until the next meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. C4, licenses, certificates, registrations.
Yes.
That's you, Judy.
We have processed. We continue to process licenses at all times. So there were plenty of licenses processed, some reinstated as well, a couple new business entity registrations. We did not have any telehealth registrations this month, in December.
Okay.
So the information is provided for your review.
Thank you.
Just a personal note, thank you specifically for Northern Arizona University graduates, for all the staff, all the work that you've done doing this. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. We're glad that we got them going.
Yeah, our pleasure.
My gosh.
All righty. So then, are there any topics that anyone would like to discuss and be considered for future agenda items?
I don't have a future agenda item, but just a correction that might need to be made on the Con Ed disciplinary matrix. If you notice, it'll say like 3 to 10 contact hours on one line, and then it'll say 10 to 15 on the line, and then 15 to 20. We might want to change that so that it's 3 to 10, 11 to 15, 16 to 20. And then same thing on the PTA one.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because we had one that was at 3. So was it 1 to 3 or the 3 to 10?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so agree. Just to be really clear, I think we need to delineate those. Is that something you can just do, or do we need to agendize that and vote on it?
No, I think board staff can just make those modifications.
Thanks, Mr. Harrison.
Thank you.
So please just do. That would be great.
One more item on 9B in the agenda, it says 2203, but when we go into the file, it's listed as 2208. And so maybe that's intentional, but I didn't know if that was just a small typo.
On 9B?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Agenda. When we go to the file, it's listed as 2208. But I don't know if the numbers, in terms of tracking, if that throws anything off or if that's something that.
Oh, the case number. The case number. Gotcha. Let me verify just one moment. Verify what's accurate. It should be 2203. And where did you say it said 08?
In the files.
In the files. In the board files.
Board files. Sorry, that wasn't clear.
I've seen 2203.
Me too. For the PDF file as well as the audio recording. Was it actually maybe on the, I see where it is. So if you open the PDF, it says complaint number 2208, right above his name. So it's actually on the document itself.
Right.
Good catch.
I don't know if that matters. I just been bringing it up.
Which document?
It's PDF. On the PDF of the initial investigative report for Lure.
Yep.
Right underneath the 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong meeting. Bear with me. That might explain why.
We're all a bit punch drunk right now anyway.
Right. Yep. Okay. So
hungry.
Yeah.
Basically on the investigative report is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to highlight that. Okay. All right. So I think that is just and that was not brought forth with any of the complainants. So I will talk to Mindy about that. And so the only place that the incorrect case number is located is on the investigative report itself.
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere else, permits and everything else, it's going to be agendized properly. So. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we discussed potentially asking for, as a resource, the Arizona PTA Association to help cascade out communication around the blackout time on the website. Does that need to be captured anywhere in any minutes?
I'm not tracking. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. Yeah. We're all, my got one brain cell left, so I'm going to give it to you right now. We talked about when we were talking about the blackout period for, you know, the website and any licenses, renewals and stuff, we talked about maybe leveraging the PT Association. Does that need to be anywhere other than just in the discussion of the minutes of that topic on the agenda?
That would be correct. And then, you know, board staff can reach out on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was my last brain cell. It's time to adjourn. I got nothing left.
Second.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry to butt in, but my name's Hannah Breitweiser, and I was supposed to have my application reviewed today. I've been on the call the whole time. Did I miss something, or?
It was approved.
Yeah, it was approved. Yours was part of the consent agenda, and so it was approved.
Got you.
8:30.
I thought it was more. Okay, so sorry.
Thanks for hanging in there with us this whole meeting.
And Hannah, I did email you after we presided over it. I did email you, so you do have an email waiting from me.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I'm so sorry for that, Mr. Shetty. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Good luck with the exam.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a motion and a second to adjourn.
We do? Who made it?
I made it.
Okay. I seconded it. Okay. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King.
Yep.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 1:30 p.m. The recording will stop at 1:30 p.m.
You guys have a fabulous rest of the week.